Right. Welcome to Saturday Morning Con Tunes. I am Bob Nelson. I am from this area, from the North Shore, and I've spent nearly 40 years as a DJ at an FM station in Salem, Massachusetts, 91.7 FM. So I have a little bit of a radio voice. And I am a big fan of cartoons. I'm also a furry. I have been to a whole bunch of these conventions, and it's great that this started up. And I found out about this one because there was a full-page ad in the Anthro New England Con book, and I thought, interesting, Woburn, Massachusetts, right off 128, plenty of parking, and it seems great, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun this weekend, so welcome on in. We're going to be talking about Hanna-Barbera cartoons. I am an old-school type of guy, so obviously the earlier stuff. I was born in 1962, and you had shows like Top Cat and the Flintstones on, of course, at the time. I'm not as familiar with the other stuff that came later, but we're going to take a commercial break right now. This is for a bank in England or Scotland. I think it's in Scotland. So this is Top Cat, and they merged the live action with the animation, like Roger Rabbit. They do a pretty good job here. So let's hear a little bit of Top Cat.
Okay, Benny, remember the plan.
Sure, Dixie. Good
morning. Can I help? You can indeed, my dear. I was hoping to borrow you from a little moolah.
Moolah?
I need to borrow a little money for a new home.
Ah, right. Shall we take a seat?
Benny, you're up. My previous home has been destroyed, carried away by the trash that on the orders of Officer Dibble, and callously crushed.
Oh, that's awful. You poor thing.
I love that old home. Please help me buy a new one. Just think of the children.
No problem.
Really? No problem. I'm Benny. Enough with the violin.
Okay, Tishy.
Now then, let's get down to business.
Okay. Shall we start with your name?
Cat, cat!
Why, Officer Dibble. Welcome to my humble abode.
Nice.
Won't you come in? Me and the boys are having a pool game in the library.
Hardest house again.
Nice. Yeah, Top Cat. Dawes Butler died in the late 80s. I have a feeling that was someone else. That was probably someone else doing the voice because Dawes was gone by then, I believe. So he did Yogi Bear, Huckleberry Hound, all those classic ones. And that character was really Phil Silvers, the Phil Silvers show. You'll Never Get Rich and everything. So that's what that was all about. Now, they had so many great cartoons, and like I mentioned, I'm going to mention all the different things they touch upon. One of the things they do is sports. They had a short-lived show in around 1970 called Where's Huddles that was about football. And you will notice, well, I don't know if you'll hear him, but Mel Blanc is one of the voices, and Paul Lind, you'll hear his voice definitely. So here's the intro to Where's Huddles. Colin, Mildew Wolf, and a whole bunch of other voices for Hanna-Barbera. That was great. They did a baseball cartoon. They did the Flintstones and Little Big League. They did hockey. They had something called Peter Puck that used to run on the NHL games. And then they did the Harlem Globetrotters. So there's some sports there for you. And in the late 60s...
They had like a Harlem Globetrotters cartoon as well.
That's what it was. They had the Harlem Globetrotters. And one of the voices, I believe, was Meadowlark Lemon, and they had some other people as well. So you had that, and right?
Laugh Olympics.
They had all sorts of sports things.
Wacky races.
Yep, you've got racing there. So many things. Now, another thing I'm going to play from the late 60s was the Banana Splits.
Yes. Yeah.
That was a live-action series, but they had a bunch of cartoons.
Yep.
They had The Adventures of Gulliver, Huck Finn, Danger Island. That one was live-action. They had, was it Arabian Nights? They had a bunch of shows.
Yep.
And lately, they made a new version of it, which I guess is a horror movie, and I have heard some bad things about it. But let's go back to the original Banana Splits.
Yes.
Now, two things about this song. One thing was the reggae great Bob Marley was influenced by it. He had a song called Buffalo Soldier, and you know there's a part, yeah. That's where he got it from, okay? And the other thing was, there was a punk band called the Dickies who did a good version of it. So this is really a classic tune, The Banana Splits. I got some other things to play. I was going to mention that they were going to call the show The Banana Bunch. And then they found out that there was a book or something from Scotland or England that had come out by that name. And the guy that published it said, you can't have that name. So they had to change the name. And according to Joe Barbera in this book, he said they had already printed up a whole bunch of cereal boxes. Millions of them. They had to throw them all out. So there's the story there about Banana Splits. I've got some other recent stuff too, but
was that the original opening?
That was the original opening, yeah. And they were in some amusement park or something like that.
Kings Island,
exactly, right.
Some of the suit actors are actually going to be making an appearance at the Chiller Theater.
Oh, okay.
On the rap show in New Jersey in October.
The people, but the voices were different. Like Paul Winchell was one of the voices.
I believe what you're getting at Chiller is the suit actors.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's interesting. So, you know, all these different shows, if you didn't catch them when they were originally on Saturday morning, they were seen in reruns and different things like that. I will go back to the start of Hanna-Barbera in a minute, but I do have a couple other quick clips here going back to their later years, actually. And I've got to find the right thing here. More recent things like Two Stupid Dogs and so on. Let's see if I can get this to play and not... Okay, play with... I think I can... Let's see, if I do it this way, it should be fine. So this is going to be Two Stupid Dogs. This is more one of the more recent ones. It's not working just yet. Okay, something coming up now.
Isn't that cute?
Well, it's only part of the screen. I had it sort of... I don't know why I had it working before, and now I got to remember how to do it. Let me try this one here. If I go to, I want to go to, what is it? Windows Media Player, maybe. I can do it that way. How come? Okay, wait a minute. Play with, it should work. Open with. How come it's not working? Nah, it should give me that choice. I don't see it. Let's try it and hope for the best. I don't know.
Oh, isn't that cute? But it's wrong.
Sounds a little better. Thank you.
I'm Weasel, Johnny Bravo, Powerpuff Girls, Ed, Ed, and Eddie, Cow and Chicken. I've got Johnny Bravo around here somewhere. Maybe it's next. Let me see. Dexter's Laboratory. The sad part is the levels are not always the same, so I have to fix it.
Where are they?
Still loud. Wait a minute. Where's the thing for the volume? I can't find it. Sorry.
Just hit the down arrow key.
Huh?
Just hit the down arrow key. Yeah, there you go. Down arrow.
Down arrow? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would make sense. I hope that helps. Oh, I'm on the mouse. Yeah, that guy. That's not doing it there.
Yeah. Well, isn't it all about him? Yeah. So everybody needs to hear it.
You know, over the years, they would have voices based on famous people, like Edwin or Bert Law or something like that. I can't figure out who that guy is who's imitating. Yeah, Elvis. That's definitely where they got it from. So someone out there is an Elvis fan. There's also something here called What Ruined Hanna-Barbera. It's kind of long. I'm not sure if I'll get to it. Powerpuff Girls, we saw part of it, I think, but I think this is the actual, just the theme song. I think that might be all I have for now, but I wanted to talk very briefly about Hanna-Barbera themselves and everything. They originally worked for MGM, and they gave us Tom and Jerry. And then later, you know, they closed the studio, whatever, they decided to go out on their own. They wanted to do TV. There weren't all that many studios doing TV. Now, some of the old Warner Brothers cartoons got reissued and things like that. And, of course, you had Rocky and Bullwinkle, all that sort of stuff. But they started out with a show like Rough and Ready, and then you had Huckleberry Hound, Yogi Bear, Quick Draw McGraw, all that sort of stuff. So they soon started to really get a good reputation. They had excellent voice people. We mentioned Dawes Butler before. Great animators. A guy named Tony Benedict from this area. He is writing a book called The Last Cartoonery, I believe. That's going to be coming out soon. All these people, the great writers and things like that. And admittedly, yes, the backgrounds, it was like the same thing, yeah. You know, as they ran. It was the same thing over and over, and it was kind of cheap. Faster and cheaper, Bill Hanna, you know. But at the same time, it was great, and it was fun. And it was stuff we grew up with. So you had all that sort of stuff. Now, I jotted down here trends in pop culture. What did you see in the cartoons? You saw cowboys and Indians, right? Quick Draw McGraw, that was popular. You had monsters and things like that. You might have Snagglepuss tangling with a monster. And teenagers, now, they discovered that, you know, people, the young kids and everything, like teenagers and Scooby-Doo. That's the whole thing. It was a whole teenage mystery solvers. And how about rock and music oriented? To name just a few. Catnuga Cat, that's right, Josie and the Pussycats.
Jabberjaw?
Yep, Jabberjaw and the Neptunes. So you had, well, first you had sort of a furry band. You had, in fact, I've got the one of these things, I've got the Catnuga Cats, but they had the Catnuga Cats. That didn't work out all that well, but they decided to get into a human band, although there was a cat motif, and that was Josie and the Pussycats. And they were trying to capitalize on what Archie was doing, because he had his own band as well. So Catnuga Cats started in 1969, and this is what it was like. And they had a bunch of cartoons like Around the World in 79 Days. It's the Wolf, right? You had, there were two others. Oh, Motor Mouse and Auto Cat. And I can't remember the other one. Well, let's listen to it. It is now, still a little more to go here. It's now 50 years since that started. It said happy 40th anniversary. I actually put that together. I didn't edit using Windows Movie Maker because it was their anniversary, so I thought that was kind of appropriate. And I've got a couple other things here. Let me see. Where did I have
it? That was definitely 60s.
That was definitely 60s, yes. Where did I have... I was thinking of playing one of those things, but I had something else in YouTube that I was going to play. I was going to play the theme song from Wait Till Your Father Gets Home, which was something they did a couple years after that. And I think it's on one of these. It's not that...
Where did they do Super Friends?
That was Filmation, I believe. We did Super Friends.
No, they...
Hanna-Barbera. Oh, they did that, right. I'm getting mixed up with the other one, yeah. That's right, because they had so many different things that were like that. But I think I can still find Wait Till Your Father Gets Home. So wait a minute here. Wait till...
Filmation tried to get into competition with Hanna-Barbera.
Mm. Yep.
That song is going to be stuck in my head.
You mean the Catnuga Cat song now? Chabada, chabada.
No, they do in their thing.
Oh, that, yeah. Before I get to this, if you ever saw the show Hot Wheels, which was not done by Hanna-Barbera, basically it was the same people who did that, Mike Curb and Michael Lloyd. So when you hear, I won't play it, I won't dare sing it, but they did that. Now, another thing they did, now, what was popular in the early 70s? Some of these sitcoms that were dealing with reality and political issues, like All in the Family. So they decided to do Wait Till Your Father Gets Home. And it had a unique style, very minimalist. Marty Murphy worked on it. And Tom Bosley was the voice of the father. He later did Happy Days, of course. He was Howard Cunningham. And I'm going to play a little bit of it. Now, what's funny is the same year this premiered, there was a DePatty Freleng show called The Barclays. Joan Gerber did the voice of both Irma Boyle, a housewife in this, and Agnes Barclay, a canine housewife in The Barclays. So it was sort of a weird coincidence. So this is from 72. It's coming.
Thanks. Special delivery. It's a trial. I have to be there at 10 tomorrow.
That poor boy. Daddy, how can you be so oppressive?
It's the older generation's answered everything. Gets a little tap on the head.
Oh, so now it's just a little tap, is it?
Yep. Admit it, Daddy. You're just vindictive.
All right, now hold it. You see, today is Sunday. Not that I'm a religious man, but I feel on this day of worship, it would be wrong to strangle your children.
Hoyt Curtin did a lot of these theme songs. This is one, I think. And I have yet to mention one particular series, but this one right here, the Flintstones, really put them on the map. It was a prime time show, okay? And I think I had something I was going to play very briefly here, Flintstones Inventions. We'll give you a little bit of that, and then I think we'll do some talking here. I had them, and it just didn't come out. Yeah, I had it earlier. I don't know. So we'll get to that in just a minute. But that was another thing was, you know, they were discovering the, you know, these bones of cavemen and everything, and they were trying to imagine life back then. Yeah, Wacky Adventures. We'll give you a couple minutes of this. The late John Stevenson narrating this, by the way. Give it a minute. Oh, no, we don't want an ad right now. Can we skip this? When I do, okay. I do my radio show, and sometimes we have to use YouTube for things. And here we go.
This is Bedrock, county seat of Cobblestone County, 200 feet below sea level, population 2,500. Even though Bedrock is a maverick Stone Age town, the wheel isn't the only invention. The citizens of Bedrock have many modern conveniences. Bedrock has plenty of stores, such as the supermarket, the butcher,
yeah, I'll try.
The baker, and the pizza pie maker. Bedrock is a modern Stone Age city with many forms of transportation.
That's better.
In many ways for Fred and Bonnie to get to work. There's a subway.
Hello, street, next stop.
A city bus. A railroad. And of course, the super highway.
Boston.
Which would be useless without the invention of the horn. Or the traffic light.
And here's our chance.
Stone Age transportation is highly advanced with the invention of the four-engine jet.
Fire one. Here she comes, Barney. Let him go, Barney. Hey, is it the safe, Fred?
Of course. These modern planes fly with only two fires to admit, sir.
Unlike the modern jet, the family sedan is easy to work on.
Connected to the
thingamajig.
The doohickey is connected to the
frass pan. Some even credit Barney Rubble with building the first flying machine.
Well, look,
it's on the boy ball. Yeah, your head. Look, that's your head. The citizens of Bedrock have many modern ways to communicate. There are plenty of telephones, a switchboard operator, Operator.
I'm sorry, Mr. Clarence, I'm busy. Will you leave a message, please?
And Ghostman.
Are any messages? This is Jay Out speaking.
The Flintstones get their information from many different sources, such as the Sunday paper.
Did you get the paper, dear?
Yeah, and I'm lucky. It only comes once a week.
The radio.
Interrupt this program to bring you a flash from Holly Rock.
A mail system. And of course, the ever popular television set.
Friends, this is your mystery hour.
Finally!
Of course, television isn't the only form of entertainment in Bedrock. Brain Brian love to play golf.
Hear that one real fast.
They like to listen to records.
Hold it, Mac. Thanks. Don't mention it.
They like to play pinball. And go to amusement parks.
How's it going out there, girls?
It's getting thin, Brad. Just like my patience.
And of course, the boys love to go bowling.
You're glorious, Brad.
Then why not get a refreshment drink from the storage vending machine? But before Fred and Barney can go bowling, they have to do the household chores. And don't forget to clean up afterwards. Fred and Barney aren't the only ones doing the chores around the house. On the domestic side, Wilma and Betty also make use of many modern conveniences.
I'm catching up with some of my sewing.
A vacuum cleaner. A juicer.
I don't know what we housewives would do without a good waste disposal.
And a washing machine. And of course, no modern Stone Age household would be complete without the barbecue grill.
You know, I was just thinking. I have a kitchen full of the latest gadgets, and here I am out in the yard cooking the way they did 100 years ago.
Yes, that is a modern Stone Age city.
What's that?
The crowd
gadget?
With its elevators.
Good morning, Mr. Rabo.
Pick me up, Max, will you, listener?
Hey, Bill, take us up to the fifth floor.
Right, Lance. Giddy up, Matilda!
Indoor plumbing. Police department. Fire department. The building of the city of Bedrock itself would have been impossible without this highly specialized construction equipment. Bedrock is a modern city, a model for things to come.
You know, maybe they ought to do a series about a family of the future. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, of course they did. They did the Jetsons. Anyway, but that's, it's just, it goes to show you. Let me get rid of the ad. Okay, there we go. So, they did so many great series over the years, and I haven't even touched on things like Johnny Quest, for example. But Hanna-Barbera, they had this factory, so to speak, in California where they churned these out. And for the most part, the series were good. Maybe they got a little thin after a while. And then eventually they kind of faded away. They became part of Warner Brothers and things like that. And you can see them. There's, you know, DVD sets. You've got the Boomerang Channel. There's like a Boomerang service. You can see all sorts of... There's also been books and things. Now, some of these are out of print, but this is Joe Barbera's biography and Bill Hanna's biography. This one here is by Jerry Beck. It's called The Hanna-Barbera Treasury. It's like a coffee table type book. And it actually has a whole bunch of little pockets and gizmos and toys and everything. as a fun thing. But just taking a look through it, and I haven't even touched on Tom and Jerry too much, it's amazing. Cartoons without Hanna-Barbera is unthinkable. You know, you can say that some cartoons weren't all that good, but they had a lot of great ones. And I think I just covered on a little bit of it, and now it's your turn. If you've got any questions, if you want to bring up something, it's a great studio, and we all grew up with Hanna-Barbera, and it's still around and kind of still into the future. Go ahead.
The MeTV digital channel is going to start running the Flintstones again in the end of September.
Oh, okay, great. Someone gave me that whole, like, two-thing box set. I haven't even watched most of it, but that was on for about 6 or 7 years. I mean, pretty long for back then. Now you can get The Simpsons on for 30 years and things like that. But having primetime shows and having Saturday morning and all that sort of stuff. And later on, of course, they would make movies. Like, what, the Flintstones movie? Remember that? They've had the Scooby-Doo movies. I mentioned the Banana Splits one. There is a Hong Kong Phooey movie in the works.
Really?
That's what I've heard. Yes, I have. And, I mean, you just look around. They had, what was it, Space Ghost Coast to Coast on Cartoon Network, I think it was, or Comedy Central, one of those.
Cartoon Network.
Yep, that's what it was. Thanks.
It was their first original show.
And getting back to the beginning, Tom and Jerry. That's
Ant.
Huh?
I forgot about Adam Ant. You just held
Oh,
back
yeah,
back.
Exactly. Well, things like that. You had everything from, you know, huge monsters to tiny creatures. They cover the whole sort of thing. And they would cover something like Huck Finn or Gulliver that was already kind of semi in the public domain and make it their own. So they did some good versions of that.
And most of us actually grew up with Hanna-Barbera's World of Super Adventure.
Exactly, yeah.
We got Shazam, Herculoid, Space Ghost.
Oh, yeah, all those types of shows.
Frankenstein
Jr.
Yep.
By the way,
Hercules and Space Ghost.
It mentions Birdman and everything. This kind of stopped when Scooby-Doo came on. I think Jerry Beck's trying to tell us something. I think he thinks that maybe after Scooby-Doo, there wasn't much to Hanna-Barbera, but that's what he did. So it covers it basically up to Scooby-Doo. And, you know, they put a bunch of things together for that. For one thing, here's a show that was a mystery. And then you had teenagers. And you had a dog. Joe Barbera loved dogs. So you would have a dog in a lot of these shows. And the series kind of clicked. And how it got its name, or how the dog got its name, Fred Silverman from CBS was flying, and they have the music piped in. So what's playing but Frank Sinatra's Strangers in the Night? Doobie doobie doo. That's how the name came about. But that has lasted a long time as well. So, like I say, there's so many great things. You could do panels just on Scooby-Doo. You know, you could
one
do
of the
all
issues,
sorts of things.
One of the issues why the book ends there,
yep,
right after Scooby-Doo came out, that's when this company split.
Was sold.
And it went from Hanna-Barbera and Ruby Spears.
Oh, right, yeah, that's
so
true.
So a lot of the stuff we grew up with, like Richie Rich and the new Shmoo,
Thundar
and the Blue Falcon, that was actually Hanna-Barbera, but under a different name.
Just about, yeah. And you had some people like Seth MacFarlane getting their start at Hanna-Barbera, if I remember right. You had that sort of thing. And again, Warner Brothers did eventually wind up with it, you know. And Turner, yeah. But I mean, eventually Warner Brothers kind of got control, you know.
No, Turner Studios still has it.
They still own the rights. Oh, okay.
Turner Studios was the.
Well, what about the reissues on DVDs? I think those tend to be Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers has the DVD distribution rights.
Right, that's what it is.
Whereas the broadcast rights in the studio.
Ah, there you go, yeah. Because I've got some of those box sets. You know, I've got Top Cat and Yogi Bear, Huckleberry Hound, and they're all basically through Warner Brothers. And the guy that wrote this, Jerry Beck, does a lot of stuff related to that. You'll see a whole bunch of things.
Is that out of print yet?
I don't know. This came out a few years ago. This was like a gift a couple of friends gave me. But it's, like I say, it's a coffee table book with tons of information and things like that, you know. Go ahead.
How's the video quality on the DVD re-releases, the older stuff?
It's pretty good. They clean things up, and they actually did some made-on-demand things. For example, you might remember a show from 73 called Inch High Private Eye.
Hey.
I like that one. They basically, if you want a copy, they'll print out a copy for you, but they didn't print all that much out. So it's manufactured on demand. It was okay. They cleaned it up. And there's a lot of people that say, you know, there's some shows that haven't been reissued yet. Maybe they will eventually, but a lot of the stuff is out there. Like I mentioned, Gulliver, that's other than being on a compilation of Saturday morning cartoons, they haven't reissued that. But you could get it as a bootleg, if you know what I mean, which is I did. So it's just great.
Well, SWAT Cats.
The what?
SWAT Cats.
Is that hasn't been issued yet?
No, it's not on DVD yet, which is a crime.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to ask about the Banana Splits. Is that out on sets yet?
I don't know, but you know, with the movie out, you think they would kind of link it.
Was.
I don't know if it still is.
Okay.
But the original ones with compilations definitely were.
Okay.
Because that's the issue with both Hanna-Barbera's World of Super Adventure and Banana Splits. A lot of their programming was compilations.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, a lot of
The Banana Splits came out with a compilation on TV for a while. I didn't care for...
Like, I know they had the puppets, and I know they had Danger Island.
Yes.
But a lot of it was stuff from the 60s, like Squiddly Diddly and...
Right. I remember they used to put that all together in one show.
Yeah, I was going to point out, for example, also popular in the 60s was things about spies. You had James Bond, you had Get Smart, you also had Secret Squirrel, and The Man Called Flintstone. That had to do with spying as well. You had so you had that, and they did some other releases like Hey There, It's Yogi Bear in the theatrical. They did that as well.
I've got a question.
Go ahead.
So you had mentioned that the DVD rights or the Blu-ray rights go through Warner Brothers.
Right.
Have the stream rights as well, because I remember that Warner Brothers is starting to sell their own stream.
Yeah, they'll get something like that. I know there's...
It
might be. I don't know. I guess there's a Boomerang thing you can
subscribe to. There's a lot of stuff that's still being worked out as far as streaming is concerned.
Yeah.
Because right now, most of the classic Hanna-Barbera is owned by Turner Network and Cartoon Network. So... Warner Brothers doesn't have the streaming rights to it. If Cartoon Network decided to put them on, they would put them back on. But then a lot of those shows are also on Boomerang. So, like, a lot of the streaming services are still just being worked out because it's pretty much new technology.
Isn't, like, Cartoon Network, though, under Turner?
Yeah.
So they're fighting with themselves.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, all these different streams, you know, Disney's putting something out and all these.
Turner's, like, the parent company because Turner Network also owns, like, USA, TBS, you know, TNT and stuff like that, but each one is their own individual service. It's kind of like how Marvel owns Disney, which is another another panel. Disney owns Marvel, right?
Yeah.
Which is another panel we're going to have on Sunday. But
and then Fox and Disney.
But they allow Marvel to kind of do their own thing as long as it's bringing in revenue.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out the Harvey Birdman Attorney at Law show made a big deal about them being owned by Turner and all Time Warner Productions and everything. And basically, all the old Hanna-Barbera characters got to cameo in various episodes or had cases that
they did
Harvey
that.
Dealt with. So it's it was either stuff that I remembered watching growing up or saw like reruns of things, or it's characters I'd never heard of showing up on the show. And you know, I think it's a great show that basically just goes through the history of all of Hanna-Barbera's old stuff.
Yeah, that's
I have
great.
Issues with that show because season one was comedy genius, whereas it kind of went into left field after season two.
Okay.
But exactly what you said, it was like they used a lot of characters. Like I think the only new one I think was Bird Girl.
Yeah.
The Boomerang Network also introduced all their classic Hanna-Barbera.
Exactly.
For people who've never heard when they be introduced to them, you know, Whoopi the Loop was one of those characters that I learned about in Boomerang, the same for Hokey Wolf. And those are two of my favorite.
Like that's where I first saw the Chan Clan was on Boomerang.
Also have Hanna-Barbera's 60s character designs have an influence on some of my characters.
Yeah, and again, they drew upon, like I said, the voices especially. I mentioned one would sound like Bert Lahr, and one would, you know, they kind of borrowed for the voice and things like that. And Snagglepuss, they had some commercials and everything like that. They had one for Cocoa Krispies. They actually had to say that it was a voice impersonation and that it wasn't the real Bert Lahr. So one of these commercials where he's doing folk music and everything, they had to actually say that because Bert Lahr objected. Because the voice was based, you know, the Cowardly Lion, of course, and everything. So they had to say that so they wouldn't get in trouble. And, you know, Wally Gator was like Edwin. I'm not going to try to do the voice, but like I said, you could point to a character and go, oh, yeah, sounds like this, sounds like that, and everything. I thought it was kind of interesting that you had a feline that was pink. Another studio did something like that, right? Or was Snagglepuss before the Pink Panther? He might have been. I'm trying to remember, because... You know, when the Pink Panther came out with the movie and everything like that. Or when Snagglepuss may have come out first, actually.
The Pink Panther came out in, like, 1964 or something.
Yeah, Pink Panther was 64, and I'm trying to remember when Snagglepuss came out.
It was pretty early. Didn't he guest star, a proto version of him guest star?
Yeah, there was a cartoon where he guested and things like that. But yeah, again, they would have so many things that you would look at it now and they'd have a reference to something, and if you grew up in that area, you would get it. But if you didn't, you might not necessarily get it. They'd refer to a... well, even things like, you know, we mentioned a character, Squiddly Diddly. Well, there was a guy named Bo Diddley who did rock and roll. I don't know how many people know that, but that's where the name came from. You know, so there's certain things, if you grew up in an era, you would get the reference. So
I know there's another panel later about The Simpsons.
Exactly.
There was a whole thing on The Simpsons with the Itchy and Scratchy cartoon. They were talking about all these old characters that used to be on the show that aren't now.
Yep.
And they were basically ripping off everybody else, and it's like exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, well, that's, you know...
The Flintstones.
Oh, Itchy and Scratchy. I mean, what, Tom and Jerry, right? Yep. The so-called Predator and Prey cartoons, one of the most famous... being, of course, the Roadrunner and the Coyote. All these, you know, chasing and things like that. So that's the whole thing. They kind of get inspired and they get ripped off and things like that.
The other thing is Hanna-Barbera also did a lot of groundbreaking stuff. Like, for instance, they made history with the Flintstones. The Flintstones was actually the first time a husband and a wife slept in the same bed.
Yes, exactly.
I remember reading that, yes.
That's right.
Yep.
So there's like, they did a lot of groundbreaking stuff with that as well. They also did the first cartoon with a black character.
Mm-hmm.
The Flintstones?
No, not the Flintstones. What's the name of the show? Josie and the Pussycats.
Josie, yeah. Oh, yes. They almost were, some of the people involved in that show were going to walk out if they did not have that character.
Wow.
I think there may have been a black character on the Hardy Boys, though, before that. I'm not sure.
There was.
But
I know it was before.
Right, but yeah. The thing is, like I say, was it Natalie Holloway? I can't remember what the Patrice Holloway, who was the character, whatever it was, they said, we're not going to do this unless you put that character in. They actually want, they said, we don't want a black character on there, but guess what? They said, okay, we'll do it. And that's a true story. So, yeah, so there's been a whole bunch of things over the years, and all these classic characters, and again, they'll rehash them. They'll make a movie, like whether it's Scooby-Doo or Banana Splits or anything like that.
Top Cat.
They did a couple in Mexico. Top Cat the movie and Top Cat Begins. I don't think I've seen the second one yet. But that's because Don Gato y su Padilla is very popular in Mexico. So, but there's so many great things. But you can just look at this and you just imagine the different people like Don Messick and Dawes Butler that did these voices. You had Penny Singleton, you had George O'Hanlon, all the people involved with like the Jetsons and things like that. And the guy that did Officer Dibble there just popped out of my head. That's right, Alan Jenkins. He's in Meet Joe Dokes, all these movies and everything. You look at it going, oh, there's George Jetson. That's the same guy. So, yeah, after a while, sadly, there was a point where people like Mel Blanc and Dawes Butler were passing away, and they had, I mean, you needed hundreds of people to replace those. And we even lost people like Joe Lasky passed away. He was involved with many great cartoons. He's gone. But like I say, just so many great cartoon memories. Any other questions or anything? I don't pretend to know everything about Hanna-Barbera, but I've watched a few shows.
I was just going to point out, wasn't The Flintstones prime time?
It sure was, yeah.
The first animated show to be on prime time. And
yeah, one of the things they had to do when Joe Barbera was selling the show, this is in his book, they had to find a sponsor, and they got Miles Laboratories, who did one-a-day vitamins, and they decided to put up Flintstones vitamins. So that was part of the whole deal. Which character does not have a vitamin? Which character does not have a Flintstones vitamin? Anyone know?
Which character?
Betty. There is no Betty.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I was going through them, but you're right.
Was this before or after Winston's?
Yeah, well, about the same time, actually. That was another thing. Of course, up until about 70, you could advertise cigarettes and hard liquor on TV. So you had smoking cigarettes there. They had Winston's Taste Good Like a Cigarette Should.
That's right, yeah, there was episodes.
Yeah, they had all those commercials.
That was another historic event where when Turner Classic bought up all the Hanna-Barbera's, they removed all the smoking from all of the cartoons.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
I remember watching early Flintstone episodes where they were actually smoking cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. Everyone was smoking, all these TV shows and movies, there were so many, because so many people smoked, and they still do, you know.
They had the cartoon characters advertising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you think about it. But again, so many, I mean, all these things. Augie Doggie and Doggie Daddy.
Oh, my God.
Doggie Daddy, that's Jimmy Durante right there.
Pretty much.
That's where that voice came from. Yeah. Was it Doug Young and Dawes Butler was Augie, yeah. Snagglepuss, there's a classic. Fibber Fox. You know, Fibber Fox was passed away. The guy passed away a couple of years ago. Oh, for heaven's sake! I just can't remember. You know what I mean? The comic. Fibber Fox.
Was he from Yankee Doodle?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember the comic. The comic. Yep. It just popped out of my head. But this guy, he passed away a couple of years ago. Shelley Berman. That was based on Shelley Berman. You know. So just
Yankee Doodle. Oh my God.
Yankee Doodle and Fibber Fox and everything. Lippy and Hardy. You had that. And Hardy Har Har, and then some of these shows like Birdman and things like that, and Josie and the Pussycats, as I mentioned.
Which is interesting because Hanna-Barbera only did one comic book character, which was they did the Fantastic Four.
Yep.
And that was the only one that they did.
Yeah. Okay. And Josie was a character from the Archie Comics universe,
yep.
And you know they were competing against Filmation and everything, and they decided to get together and do that. And at one of the conventions I went to, Anthrocon, we had Dan DiCarlo there and his wife, Josette. They were both there, and then Dan DiCarlo passed away the following year, and Josie was invited back. But that's where the inspiration came from. She's Josie was a Dan DiCarlo comic for Archie Comics. And then they decided to make Josie and the Pussycats, you know.
Hmm. Fun fact.
Yeah.
When they did the Fantastic Four cartoon, the reason why they only did three of them instead of four... They left out the Human Torch because...
Oh, because Howie Freeling.
Yeah.
The
well, no. Oh. The execs thought the kids would watch the show and then set themselves
on
fire.
Oh, yeah.
They replaced them with Herbie the Robot.
Yeah. Oh, I'd heard about that.
And where the theme song for Josie came about, you might remember back in the Jetsons, they would have this incidental music. Dun, 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 dun. And so Earl Kress pointed out, Josie, the Pussycat. That's where it came from. Never throw anything away.
Am I the only one who remembers Josie in outer space?
Yes. There was also the Partridge Family in outer space. Was that Hanna-Barbera? I believe it was.
Oh, my God. I remember that,
yeah.
Too.
You had all those different things. Sometimes they'd have the original voices, and sometimes they'd have other ones. This isn't Hanna-Barbera, but there was an animated Star Trek. I think that was Filmation. Yeah?
Yeah, Filmation did that.
There's a book coming out about that, actually. I'm not sure
Which
if that's
Filmation.
Which
is funny, because when they did Ruby Spears took over, they kind of mixed them.
Yeah.
Because they did a show called The Space Stars, which had Space Ghosts, but then also had the Blue Falcon and like several other characters all mixed together.
Yeah. And, I mean, all the different things that have been put out, the movies, the record albums, the books and things like that, You can look online, and like I say, they'll have an album that came out, you know, with like the Top Cat characters or the Flintstones characters, and you can get the music that way too. You can download it and things like that. They put out a whole bunch of albums. They have their own record label, and one of the guys from Three Dog Night was involved.
Wow.
Yeah.
I still have that album.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, there's so many great things out there. And so, it's 5:20. I mean, are we till 5:30, right?
Yeah, well, 5 minute leeway.
The panel came over here. Okay, well, if you have any further questions, I guess we got about 5 minutes to go. This is a fast hour. But this is amazing, and I'm thinking this is the first all-cartoon convention. You know, there's been other conventions that dealing with a whole bunch of things like comic, but this might be the first all-cartoon one that I know of. You know, does anyone...
The second.
The second? Oh, there was another one?
There was one called AltCon that they did in... Nashua, New Hampshire, then they tried to do it at MIT, and they kind of just collapsed from there. Yeah. Like, the only other cartoon-based cons that they have around are anime.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
There was also, a few years back, a con similar to this that I think, like, fell apart after the second year.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
I don't think it was in Nashua. I think it was, I think I'm thinking of a different one also.
Well, it moved in three different places. It started in Nashua.
Maybe.
And then it moved to, like, I think, Methuen the second year. And then they tried to do one in MIT, and it just didn't fly. Yeah. And, like, other than that, the only other comic cartoon-based con would be BronyCon.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, that's great.
Well, thank you.
Like I said, okay, that was great. I had a lot of fun doing it. Thank you.